Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. This is the Brian Lehrer Show, and I'm Cindy Rodriguez, WNYC's urban affairs reporter, sitting in for Brian this morning. Today's show is all about borders, starting with a look at the family reunification process here in the New York area. While thousands of children taken from their parents at the border remain under the custody of U.S. foster care agencies, shelters, and sponsors, the government has begun to return the youngest children, toddlers and babies, back to their parents. Initially, a court-ordered deadline requiring these children to be reunited with their parents by Tuesday was missed. But slowly, parents who were detained in places like Texas and Arizona are now showing up in New York City to pick up their children. The government is expected to announce later today that it will streamline the process. My colleague Beth Fertig has been trying to track who the kids are, who the parents are, and what the government and foster care agencies are doing to bring families together again. I've been helping along the way, but today I'm sitting in for Brian Lehrer, and Beth will be my guest, and she's here to break down what we've learned so far. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning, Cindy. It's great to be together with you talking about this because we've been collecting so much information, or trying to, in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's a very fluid situation, and every day is a little different. So, Beth, what do we know about this new streamlined process?
Well, they are going to have a press conference this hour, Department of Homeland Security. We're recording it, so we will give you the update, and I'm sure NPR is on it as well. So they will be announcing, according to the New York Times, that they will streamline the process that has bogged things down. Because as of this morning, there were, according to the Department of Justice, about 103 kids who were subject to this court order that they're under five and they have to be reunified with their families.
Right.
But as of 7 a.m., only 57 children, just over half, had been reunified. And the government was saying that the others were either found ineligible, the parents, to be reunited because of safety concerns, which included criminal history, which may not even be a conviction, Cindy, as we know. They could be charges.
Mm-hmm.
Adults determined not to be the parent through DNA testing, or an adult who was found to have or alleged to have abused a child. But then there were also 12 adults who were deported, who the government is still trying to contact, and some who are in jail or in the custody of marshals for various things. So it's been extremely complicated, but this fingerprinting and DNA testing was really bogging things down. And that's what the Times is reporting, that they are going to streamline starting today.
Okay. And so now, Beth, last night we know that some, actually, I guess starting Tuesday night, there were some reunifications here in New York City.
Yeah.
And these are parents that have been without their kids for months sometimes.
Exactly.
So what can you tell us about those reunifications that have happened?
So it's tough to get a count. First of all, nobody can say exactly how many kids under five are in New York. Either they don't know, various government officials here in New York, or they're not saying. Catholic Charities, which provides all the legal screening for the kids in foster care under a government contract, they've told me that they believe there's about a few dozen kids under five who this could apply to. But as of last night, when I spoke to Mario Russell, who's in charge of their immigration services, legal immigration services, he said he knew of five kids who had been reunified by Wednesday afternoon. Two took place on Tuesday. Three took place on Wednesday because of a delay when ICE was holding the parents in detention nearby. But then there was a technical snag because they're releasing the parents with ankle monitors, parents who were in detention who can now get their kids. They want to have the ankle monitors on them so they can track them and they won't be a risk of flight. But I guess the ankle monitors weren't working properly, or there was something going on. The Times reported on this last night. And so those three kids had to wait a little longer to be reunited with their parents yesterday. He said there might have been two more taking place last night, but as of now, what I'm hearing is that these reunions could be happening at different ICE offices in New York City as the parents are taken out of the detention centers where they're kept all around the country. They could be down at the border. They could be in Texas, Arizona. They could be here in New Jersey because sometimes they were brought closer by in anticipation of reunification. Then they are brought to an ICE office and reunified with the children who are staying in foster care agencies.
So listeners, we can take a few calls on this. If you have a question for Beth about her reporting, tweet at Brian Lehrer Show or call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And actually, we already have one caller on the air. Beth, you know him. His name is Jose Javier Orochoa, and he is the lawyer for one of the families that you've been following, Jenny Gonzalez.
Yes.
Jose, are you there?
Yes, good morning, very much. I'm here in Arizona right now, actually.
You are. What are you doing in Arizona?
I'm happy to announce that yesterday, we bonded out three more mothers. One mother's headed to Cayuga, one mother is heading to Houston, and one mother is heading to Georgia. Only the mother heading to Georgia has had her children released. The other two mothers are going to start their hopefully shortened fight to reunify with their children.
Okay, so Jose, Beth is here. She's going to explain to listeners what Cayuga is.
Right, Cayuga is a foster care agency in New York that took a couple of hundred of the kids, and they placed them in foster families. And that's exactly what they did with Jose Javier Orochena's client, Jenny Gonzalez Garcia, the woman that we've been following. She was in detention in Eloy, Arizona, and she was kept apart from her children for 6 to 7 weeks. And these three children are still at the Cayuga Foster Care Agency, or with a foster family, I should say, because Jenny has not been able to go through this whole background check with the fingerprints and the ID. However, her children are 6, 9, and 11, so they're not subject to this first deadline.
Okay.
So now there's also, like when he said bonded out, Jenny was bonded out by some families, moms in New York, who heard him being interviewed here on WNYC a few weeks ago and did a fundraiser to bond out Jenny, and then other moms in detention so that they could see their children. So, Jose, you're saying that the group in New York successfully bonded out another mom who's going to come to New York to pick up her kids from the Cayuga Center?
That's correct. And I am so grateful, not only to all of your shows that have given us so much exposure, but to the mothers who contributed $20, $30. All those $20, $30 helped bond out three women yesterday with bonds amount of $10,000, $12,000, and $25,000, an amount I've never heard of for mothers coming with children, but we were able to do it, and I'm so grateful for your listeners. Thank you very much. You know, it's quite an emotional scene to see these women take their first steps of liberty and just collapse from emotion. It's a grueling process that they've been going through, and they just collapsed, and they were praying on their hands and knees, thanking God, thanking everyone. Thank you very much for everybody. It's something that I've never been a part of, and I doubt I will ever be part of such an emotional process. And I'm so grateful for you, Beth. We miss you here in Arizona. We wish you could come again. But also your listeners, thank you very much for shedding a light on this horrible, horrible policy.
Thank you for calling in and giving us an update, but I just have a quick question to ask. So the mom who was bonded out, are her kids under five? Will she be able to collect them right away, or is she going to have to go through this whole process that the government says it's going to speed up, and we don't know if how much that's going to apply to the kids who are older than five?
Right. So far, all of the children that I represent through their mothers, all of them are five or older. So none of them are part of the process that has to be reunified yesterday. But I also received some great news from a gentleman I represent. It was a father that came with his son. I believe the son is 6 years old. Son is in Cayuga. The father's detained in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The father just told me that they are preparing him. They're going to pay for his flight. They're going to charter a flight with a bunch of other family members, mothers.
Who's paying for
and
this?
They're going to, the government is going to charter a flight and pay for him to go to New York, to go to Cayuga and pick up his 6-year-old son. And that's going to happen hopefully on Friday. I'm glad
tomorrow.
That the administration is getting the pressure. Right, tomorrow he's going to hop on a flight and head over to New York. I don't think he has the documents that will allow him to fly commercially. So I believe DHS says, let's just charter a flight. We'll take care of the logistics. And he should be there to pick up his son, too. So I am glad to report that through the pressure of the public, the media, the government is cutting a lot of red tape, and they are helping these family members, these mothers and fathers, be reunified with their children. I just want to see it actually done in the case of Jenny, for example, the case of a mother that was released yesterday. I feel that the wheels are finally starting to move. I just want to see the proof, and the proof is finally these families walk out of these centers unified.
Jose, thank you so much for calling. I understand that you're in a little bit of a rush and that you need to get to court. Is that correct?
That's correct. I have to run because I have another bond hearing here in Eloy, Arizona, and my client will kill me if I'm late.
All right. Thank you so much, Jose, for calling, and please
keep us posted. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And Beth, we have another caller on the line. That's Rita from Manhattan. Rita, you're on the air.
Hello. Did you say Rita?
Yes, I did. Hi, Rita.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much for this wonderful coverage. It makes me emotional, so I have to gather my breath.
Sure.
So having studied a little bit about childhood trauma and having a sister who's an expert in it, I am really aware that these children's brains, especially the ones under 3, have been dramatically affected. And I'm just wondering if there's any group who is looking ahead to funding, getting some funding together, getting some therapists here, Central America, wherever the children end up, to help them accelerate their recovery from the trauma, from the emotional trauma, and hopefully they won't suffer the tremendous burden of having what they call attachment disorder, you know, from children who've been experienced such anxiety. They get so much adrenaline. They're sort of like
right.
in a permanent fight or flight mode, which affects their thinking. I mean, it's overwhelming to think of the whole thing. But we have people who know how to help children. So I'm wondering if there's a potential now that there's movement in the reunification to start thinking ahead to the rehabilitation and the recovery.
So, Rita, thank you for your call and for your comment. And yes, you know, I believe about a week or so ago, the city's Administration for Children's Services, which deals with the child welfare system, so these are kids that are taken into the foster care system, there's a whole infrastructure there that provides services to those families. And I think some of those agencies are stepping forward to offer some of the services that you are talking about. We've also talked to experts who say that, you know, when a child is going to be separated from a parent, there needs to be a lot of transparency. The child has to understand why it's happening, where their parent is going, when they'll be able to see them again, and if they are able to visit, they need to understand that maybe sometimes those visits are going to be temporary. So there are ways in which the trauma can be mitigated to some degree. And Beth, I think you also have been in touch with someone that we're going to have on our air later on, who is a local volunteer who wants to also add to this effort
right.
and provide services for families.
Yeah. Julie Schwietert Collazo is the woman who organized the fundraising here in New York to bond out the parents in detention. And she does want to provide them more, I guess, holistic services than just getting them out. She wants to link them up with psychologists and supportive services and stuff, especially if they're going to have to stay in New York for a little while and only visit with their kids, like Jenny Gonzalez-Garcia, until they can officially be reunified with them by going through the whole background check.
So, Beth, Jenny Gonzalez-Garcia, you might consider her one of the lucky ones because she was able to get out and she was able to come to New York. She has Jose as her lawyer, and she's at least been able to visit her children. Some mothers have been deported, and their children remain in New York City. We talked, you and I both talked to one of those mothers. Her name was Lourdes De Leon, and she was from Guatemala. Can you tell us a little bit about her story?
Yeah, we know about Lourdes, I should say, because of our friend at Voice of America, Celia Mendoza. She's a reporter I met when I went to Eloy to cover Jenny's release from detention. And Celia went to Guatemala right afterwards in order to meet moms who had been deported to see what they were told about getting their children back. And among other things, she learned that some of them claimed they had been tricked into signing deportation papers because they thought that way they'd get to see their kids again. You know, they had been going days or weeks without their children. Their children were taken away. They didn't know what was happening. And so rather than pursuing asylum, they agreed to go back home because they thought they'd see their kids that way. And then they didn't. That's what happened to, or that's what they claim. And that's what happened to Lourdes De Leon. You and I then called her, thanks to Celia. She put us in touch. We also watched Celia's interview with her on Voice of America. And Lourdes says that her son is at the Cayuga Foster Agency in New York, and that she's talked to him maybe once a week. And it's been very, very painful for her to be back home in Guatemala while he is still in New York. And so that would mean if the government knows about her, they say 12 adults have been deported and are being contacted. Well, we know that Lourdes, as of a couple days ago, still was not contacted. She didn't know what was happening. All she knew was that her son has to go to immigration court. He has a lawyer through Catholic Charities, and he's going to have to ask for voluntary departure because every child has its own, his or her own case in addition to the parents. This little six-year-old boy has to ask for voluntary departure in order to join his mom in Guatemala. Is that something that the Trump administration is going to speed up when they announce their changes today? We don't know. But she is probably among the 12 parents they say they know about and will be contacting. And maybe they don't know about her, but they should.
Okay, Beth, and we'll keep trying to contact her and get in touch with her son that's at Cayuga, her six-year-old. Beth, a lot of people are on Twitter right now asking where they should donate to help bond out parents. I know that we're going to be getting to that later with some future guests, but what can you tell people right now?
I would say, you know, I don't want to be telling you where to spend your money. I feel kind of uncomfortable doing that as a reporter. But I would say, you know, if you're on Twitter, look for Julie, who's going to be our guest. You can decide whether or not you want to contribute to her efforts. I'm going to look for her Twitter handle right now. It is COLLAZO Projects, at Collazo Projects. You can ask her directly if you want to be part of her cause. There's also RAISIS, which is a large organization of legal service providers, immigration lawyers in Texas that's been raising an enormous amount of money. I think Seth MacFarlane contributed $2 million. They're raising money to bond out parents. So there's a lot of efforts going on. There's other individual efforts, too.
So, Beth, let's go back to the foster care agencies that are holding the kids right now. What can you tell us about them? Cayuga is the one that you hear the most in the media right now.
Yeah.
It's the largest contract holder in the state. How did so many kids from Texas, detained in Texas and Arizona, how did they end up in New York?
Yeah, it's kind of this weird situation where New York had already been receiving, because there's a lot of family members who come to New York, a lot of the typical unaccompanied minors. These are kids who are, you know, 15, 16 years old, and they come to the border by themselves.
Not with their parents.
Exactly. And then they are cleared to be released to a family member. Very often they're going to come join a family member in New York. And sometimes they don't have anyone to join right away. They go to foster care agencies that are contracted with the federal government. And there's a whole bunch of them here in New York, including Cayuga centers, which our reporter Matt Katz came up with a list of 10 places in New York that take these kids. Cayuga has the largest contract. And that doesn't mean they had the beds ready right away, as you know, Cindy, because you were, you know, looking into them and saw that they were
Right, they're recruiting foster parents.
Yeah, but at least they have the contract to be able to place the kids. So when these hundreds of kids started coming to New York and they needed places to stay, Cayuga was able to find them foster families. So that's why the mayor, when he toured and said, I didn't realize there were over 200 kids here in New York just at this one foster care agency, he was really surprised, and a lot of New Yorkers were surprised to learn they were here. But it's just because we had an existing infrastructure. But that infrastructure wasn't used to taking kids who had been separated from their parents, and who were younger. One as young as 9 months old, according to the mayor, and then kids under five, as we know now. So this is a whole new thing for these agencies in New York, who are more used to taking kids who came during the surge as they were fleeing violence in Central America, would come alone, and just, you know, a few at a time, not 200 kids who had been taken from their families.
Right. And we know from news reports that while kids are in foster families, they come to this Cayuga Center in East Harlem, where they watch movies, take English lessons, meet with their attorneys. You actually got into Cayuga. What did you see? What did you get very far? And have you been able to get any information from Cayuga itself?
Well, first I'll say that Cayuga has not returned any calls to the media since this whole thing began, virtually none. I believe our pals at Gothamist managed to get through to the head of Cayuga the very first day this happened, and he said very little. And ever since then, nobody's been able to get anyone there to talk. The only reason I got in, so to speak, was because I was following Jose Javier Orochena as he was going to visit Jenny Gonzalez Garcia's three young children. And he had been trying for a month to visit them, even though he was her attorney and their attorney, they weren't letting him in. He got to go the day before he went to Arizona to meet with the children. So I went with him to see if they would allow me. And of course, they said no. But I said, would you please just let me talk to somebody here? Because we really want to know what's happening. I know it's overwhelming for you. They let me sit in the hallway for a few minutes and then I had to leave. But what I could see was a lot of young children being dropped off for the day. I don't know if they were being dropped off by their foster families or if they were being just received by workers at the place, a lot of young people who work there. It's a cheerful looking place with big, giant framed photos of scenes from New York City. And we saw, like, I saw a lot of people rushing around in this office, and the poor young woman who greeted me, who worked at the main reception area, was saying, you know, we're just overwhelmed. We've never dealt with anything like this before. And I said, I understand, but, you know, we need to know that. You know, it would be helpful for you to tell us how you're doing and what's happening, but nobody will tell us. So it's been impossible. And there's all the other agencies. You know them well, Cindy, from covering ACS, the Administration for Children's Services, and dealing with these social service agencies and foster care agencies yourself. You know, it's been very hard to get them to talk.
So, Beth, we're going to leave it here. Beth Fertig covers the courts for WNYC. She will follow this story as it continues to unfold, but she's also going to stick around with me as we continue this important discussion on the thousands of children waiting to be reunited with their parents detained at the U.S.-Mexico border. I'm Cindy Rodriguez, Urban Affairs reporter at WNYC, filling in for Brian Lehrer.